So you know what Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us? It says that if we will present our bodies a living holy sacrifice, if we'll stop being conformed to this world, if we'll present ourselves in a way to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, then what God promises to us is that we will be able to test and approve the will of God for our lives. Not to us, but to your
name be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Live in Large. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of Living Wisely.
He says in Ephesians 5, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here's the fourth characteristic of wise living. It's understanding the Lord's will. The command is from a word, sunyemi. It means to put together in your mind. It means to perceive what actually is. And it's a command. We are to perceive what the actual will of God is. We're to understand it. We're to be aware of it. We're to put it together in our minds so that we can step into it. So that we can do it. This past week, after I taught one of my classes at Biola, I had a student come up to me and said, could I ask you a question? And I said, sure. And he said, what do you think about God's will? And he said, you know, some people, and he was making reference to some books that he'd read about God's will. He said, you know, there's some people, John Eldridge, he talks about our desires and our heart's desires, and God's will is always going to be in line with our desires. So we should, you know, we should really be in touch with what it is that we desire and then go for it. And then he quoted another guy, John Piper, and he said, no, Piper says that God's will is really made clear in the commands of Scripture. And what our focus about God's will ought to be just obeying the commands of Scripture. And then I said, well, then there's a third perspective. There's a guy named Henry Blackaby, and he said, God's will is much more like a dot. God has a very specific, perfect will for you, and our goal ought to be to find that very specific, perfect plan that God has and step into it. And he goes, yeah, which one is it? I said, well, I think there's an element of truth in all of them. And then as I was talking to this young guy, I said, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I said, that word prove there in Romans 12 is the Greek word dokimazo, which means to prove after you've tested it. And I said, you know what Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us? It says that if we will present our bodies a living holy sacrifice, if we'll stop being conformed to this world, if we'll present ourselves in a way to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, then what God promises to us is that we will be able to test and approve the will of God for our lives. So I said, there may be an element of truth of all those guys, but the key is in Romans 12, 1 and 2 is we need to make sure we've presented ourselves to God, we need to stop being conformed to this world, and we need to have our minds renewed. When we're doing that, we'll be able to test and prove what God's will is. I go, I don't think it's a big hide-and-seek game. I think God wants to show us what His will is, but we need to meet the conditions to find it. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we're commanded. Understand the Lord's will. God wants us to know His will for our lives. And I believe His will is at times totally in accord with our desires. I believe His will always is in accord with the commands of Scripture. And I believe that sometimes God has a very specific, perfect thing He wants us to step into. But the way we discover His will, the way we understand it, you see, is by surrendering our whole lives to Him. Because now He's got our hearts, and He can speak to us, and He can direct us. That's wise living when we do that. Here's a fifth characteristic of living wisely. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Two commands there. First, don't get drunk with wine. Secondly, be filled with the Spirit. God's way of wisdom is that we don't get drunk with wine. You know, there's a lot of teaching within the Christian faith about alcohol and the use of alcohol. You have teetotalers who say that you shouldn't drink at all under any circumstance. And then you have people who want to flaunt the freedom that they have in Christ by, you know, doing whatever they feel like doing. I don't know where your particular background may or may not be. There is no command in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that says Christians should not drink. But we're encouraged often not to get drunk. Why? Well, this is what Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation. How many of you use the word dissipation every day in your vocabulary? If you have the New American Standard version, it's even fuzzier, because the New American Standard says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Ooh, I say that all the time to my kids. Stop that debauchery. It's a strange word. The Greek word is asotia. Sotia is a derivative of the word for salvation. The word for salvation is sozo or soterion. Asotia, with the alpha in the front, means the opposite. Do not get drunk with wine, which is the opposite of salvation. That's what it's basically saying. He's basically saying, when you're drunk, what you do, what you say, how you act, is just the opposite of salvation. If you don't believe that, ask Mel Gibson. That ain't wise behavior. But what is wise behavior? And do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's acting wisely when we're filled with the Spirit. And I think, you know, the command about getting drunk with wine and the contrast of being filled with the Spirit, when you look at it from an analysis perspective, what you would expect Paul to say is, and do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be sober. Now, the reason he said, and do not get drunk with wine, is so that he could set up what he wanted to say in the command to be filled with the Spirit, because we understand the contrast. Yeah, we understand. You know, certainly, you know, I don't understand. People have told me about it. But I understand that when you're drunk, you know, you do things you wouldn't normally do. You say things you wouldn't normally say. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the same way. When you're filled with God's Spirit, you'll think in a way that's different. You'll feel in a way that's different. You'll act in a way that's different. Because God's Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So wise living is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to fill your life. And that's really the command, by the way, because there's three ways that a command can be expressed in the Greek New Testament grammatically. There's a command in which I'm the active participant. I'm to do something. There's a command in which I'm the reciprocal participant. I am to engage in a reciprocal relationship. And then there's the command where I'm the passive participant. I'm going to let something be done to me. That's the kind of command this is. It's a passive imperative. In other words, let the Holy Spirit fill your life. The point is this: God wants to fill you with His Spirit more than you want to be filled. God wants to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life more than you want it. God is commanding me, He's commanding you to let Him fill our lives. It's like at your house, your apartment, your condo, wherever you live, there is a main water valve. I know there's one at my house because I've been woken up in the middle of the night with my sprinkler heads breaking off and having to go out and turn the thing off because I'm flooding my lawn. There's like this valve. All the water that comes into our homes, there's this little valve. You can flip it one way and it stops all that. You turn that main water valve off, you can't get any water, any of your sinks, your showers. It's just off. That valve has the control power to stop the flow of water coming into your home and into your yard. There's like a control valve on our soul. And the flow of God's Holy Spirit is wanting to come into our lives. And we can turn it off, or we can turn it on. That's amazing, isn't it? So the command of Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Don't turn that valve off. Open up your mind, your heart, your soul, your actions, every part of your life to the Holy Spirit, and He will fill you. And He will produce life change, power to be a witness for Jesus Christ, victory in your struggles, because it says, walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. He'll give you power to be a witness for Christ, Acts 1:8 says, but I say that when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will give you power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit produces life change. And wise living is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Here's the seventh. In fact, the seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth concepts of wise living are all associated with this key idea of being filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit is the primary command, and then the following actions kind of describe what flow out of that, what support that, what are the means by which we live in the Spirit. Wise living is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Wise living is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, James chapter 3 says there's tremendous power in our words. We have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Our words. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're acting in wisdom, we use our words to build up. We speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In fact, he's already said here in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 4:15, that we should speak the truth in love. In Ephesians 4:25, he says we should speak the truth, each one of us, to one another because we belong to one another. In Ephesians 4:29, he says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, that it might give grace to those who hear. So how is it that we can speak truth and grace to one another? When we speak with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When our conversations are peppered with what God is doing in our life and who God is and what His Word says and what His truth is all about and how His grace is available. When we speak those kinds of words to one another, that's acting wisely. Our conversations are to be not only with one another, but with God, because the eighth characteristic of wise living is singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. It is a wise action to keep your heart in a place where you're worshiping God 24/7. It's just being wise when you have a heart that is filled with the joy of the Lord. When you sing to God, when you make melody in your heart to the Lord, when you express your words of praise to God. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, it says this, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When we act in wisdom, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, our words with one another are filled with grace and truth, and our heart towards God is one of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Because that's the ninth characteristic of wise living. Always give thanks to God for everything. The command of Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, giving thanks is an act of obedience. Being thankful is an emotional response that comes when the Holy Spirit is able to transform your heart. I mean, let's be honest. There are things that happen all the time in our lives that we don't feel thankful for. But you know what? We can give thanks. You don't have to instantly feel thankful for the loss of a child or for cancer or for bankruptcy or for divorce or for being unjustly treated. Things happen in this world all the time that are terrible. And the standard of God is not like that you immediately feel thankful. No. That happens over time as we surrender our hearts to God and allow the Holy Spirit to transform our emotions. But we can give thanks. In fact, it's a wise thing to do. Because the giving of thanks is like positive, renewing self-talk to the mind. Rather than going down that spiral of negative stinking thinking, we give thanks that says, I acknowledge you, God, that you're in control and that you're sovereign and that you have a plan for my life and that somehow you'll use this for your glory and for my joy. And I acknowledge that. And so I give thanks to you for that. And giving thanks is contagious. Do you know that? Just like being critical is contagious. We can be people who are like sponges for gossip and criticism, and somehow people find us out and they share every little negative thing they have, and we take that in and then we, you know, somehow give it away to others. Or we can be sponges for positive, thankful words. And the wise person gives thanks. Last characteristic of living wisely out of this passage: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word here is hupotasso. It means to subject yourself, to yield yourself, to obey. It's a military term. It meant to bring all the formations under the alignment of the commanding officer. Paul is about to say in Ephesians chapter 5 that there is a hierarchy in human relationships that reflects a hierarchy in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's one of order and purpose. And so he's about to say in the relationship between husband and wife that husbands are to sacrificially love their wives, and wives are to submit to their husbands. But you know what he says before he even gives that command? That we with one another are to submit to one another. It's not one-sided, this whole idea of submission. It's, you know, an equal opportunity command. We're all to submit to one another. Because there is a reality of wisdom when we submit to one another rather than try to assert and power up on one another. When we try to assert ourselves and power up on one another, we're operating out of pride or out of insecurity or out of fear. When we submit ourselves to one another, we're operating out of humility. You know what James 4 says? God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Would you rather have God opposed to you or God give you grace? Would you rather have God opposed to you or God give you grace? Would you have God opposed to you or God give you grace?
Grace.
Yeah, humble yourself. Boy, you know, and that's hard when you're good looking like me. I know that. I understand that. You're going to get my new book, Humility and How I Got It, you know. We all struggle with this. I mean, it's just our common plight. But wisdom says this. Wisdom says, I'm going to submit myself to one another out of fear of Christ. You see, here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, like the book of Proverbs, is giving us a rapid fire understanding of wise behavior. If we looked at this from the standpoint of trying to take every one of these right now and put into practice, it'd be overwhelming. But let me just challenge you with this. Is there one thing in this list that says, man, that hits at home right now where I'm living? If you will receive that and do it, you'll live wisely.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. We're in a series looking at how to live the Christian life, live in large. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that the Christian life is a life to live. He gives us five commands of how to live the Christian life. He used this controlling verb in the Greek text, peripateo. It means to walk about, to conduct one's life. The Christian life is a life to live. And in Ephesians 5:15, this is how we're to live. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. God's will for each of us is to live a wise life, to live and to walk with wisdom. Now, in Ephesians 5:15 to 21, Paul unpacks what that means, and he gives us several definitions of the wise life, living with wisdom. He says it's making the most of every opportunity. It's understanding the will of the Lord. It's not being foolish. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's singing with joy in our hearts to the Lord. It's giving thanks in all things. It's submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. All of these behaviors describe the life of wisdom. It's God's will for us. It's God's will for you. Now, let me just pick one of those behaviors, because I think it's possibly the most important one. In Ephesians 5:18, it says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." God's will for you, the wise life, the wise course of action for you and for me as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with Christ, because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And when we're filled up with Christ, His life fills us. We have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we're filled with the Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And when we fill with the Holy Spirit, we actually have Christ's life, because it says in Romans chapter 8, "The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace." God wants to produce in us and through us His life. He wants us to live the life He's called us to. He wants us to live with wisdom, and living with wisdom is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is something that God wants us to enter into and to experience moment by moment by moment. It's not as complicated as we might think it is, because it's God's desire for us. In fact, it's God's command upon our lives. And anytime God gives us a command, He gives us the means to experience the reality of the command. So how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, we've got a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John chapter 7, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me and comes to me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." This Jesus spoke of the Spirit, whom he had not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The overflowing life that Jesus promises is a life overflowing with the Holy Spirit that begins with being thirsty. Jesus said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for God's life in you and through you? Well, that's the first prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we just need to ask. God's a good God who wants to give us good gifts. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? When we ask God for the help of the Holy Spirit, when we ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit, when we ask God for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because He's good and He loves us, He delights in answering that prayer and giving us the good gift of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be thirsty and desire His filling. Secondly, we need to come to God and ask Him. And thirdly, and maybe this is where we struggle, but thirdly, we need to obey the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says this, "If you, by the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God." Obeying the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, that's what we need to do day in and day out. Every day, to be a Spirit-filled person, we need to desire, we need to ask, we need to obey. And remember, when we're filled with the Spirit, we're living wisely. Would you ask God right now to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Fill me right now with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind. No turning back, raise the banner high. It's not for me.